Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you this evening, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful presence here tonight, Lord. And Lord, just pray, Lord God, that, Lord, we just invite your Spirit, Lord, just to speak into each of our hearts, Lord God, as I share tonight's word, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, to do your will, Lord, this evening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome each of you this evening. Tonight, I'm going to use a presenter. Hey, yes. Thank you. And tonight we're going to talk about, the scripture I'm going to reference tonight is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to have a bit of a look at this particular scripture tonight and really get into it a little bit. Very simple, very short one. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, over the years, I've heard people talk about the scripture from time to time. Not that often, but from time to time. And often I hear a number of different interpretations of what this scripture means. Tonight, I'm just going to look into that. We'll dig into some more scripture and really bring out what I feel, at least, the essence of what this scripture is about. So there are two real important facts about the scripture that we can see. Firstly, that the Lord Jesus is that Spirit that it talks about. And also, too, the Spirit gives freedom or liberty, as it says in the King James Version. So, of course, as we know, that Jesus is God, which, of course, is a fundamental truth of our faith. And, of course, God, part of God is the Holy Spirit. But is there a little bit more to what Paul is referring to here in the Scripture? Let's have a look. But at first, we consider liberty to be freedom, don't we? We sort of equate liberty and freedom together, freedom to choose. That is, if we have Jesus in our hearts, we have the freedom to do anything we please. Does that sound right to you? Not necessarily, no. This, of course, is not correct. And this evening, part of tonight's message is to demonstrate why and what is the truth behind the meaning of liberty in this verse. So if we have a look at John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, from the first he was the Word, he being Jesus, and the Word was in relation with God and was God. And also there's another verse there, in verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, it also says, and so the Word became flesh, and took a place among us for a time. And we saw his glory, such glory as is given to an only Son by his Father, saw it to be true and full of grace. So if we have a look at Jesus, what do these two verses tell us about Jesus? Well, let's have a quick look at that. First it says that he is the Word of God. He is referred to in Scripture as being the Word. It also refers to Jesus as being the beginning. Well, God created the earth, God created the universe, God created us. So it tells us that Jesus is God just by saying that, just by the fact that he is here in the beginning. But and also, in fact, he is in relation, or the Word is in unity with God. So there is a oneness there. And of course, Jesus is God. As it says in John 1:1, and was God. But also in verse 14, it also talks about Jesus having, for a time, being amongst us. So he was man. He was he was made flesh, or he referred to himself often in the Gospels as being the Son of Man. But tonight we're going to have a look at the first aspect, and that is Jesus being the Word of God, to help us explain, to help us demonstrate and explain more the message behind what Paul was saying in that first scripture that we saw in 2 Corinthians 3:17. So if we have a look at, go through, turn your Bibles now to, if you like, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Not as if we were able by ourselves to do anything for which we might take the credit, but our power comes from God, who has made us able to be servants of a new agreement, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter gives death, but the Spirit gives life. And this is an important scripture. In fact, in talking about grace this year, we've come across this scripture once or twice, or perhaps even a few more times than that, how this scripture explains the importance of looking at the Word of God in the Spirit, or looking at, or defining it through the Spirit, rather than just looking at it legally. And we looked into that, but I'm not going to go into that in great detail tonight, because we've already covered that quite a bit during the course of this year. But when we look at God's law, we look at, for instance, we take, for example, the Ten Commandments, we can see that the stuff that's in there, or the Word of God that was spoken out, is pretty good stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's if we are all able to live by that, even if we lived it legally, not so much even looking at the spirit of it, then we pretty much would be considered pretty good people, just by the fact that we're following such good laws as that. For instance, you know, such things as the first one, you know, worshipping, having no other gods but the Lord your God. I mean, that's pretty fundamental to our faith as well. And you can't really misinterpret that first commandment, can you? It's basically telling us that we only are to worship one God, and then God Almighty. Also, when you go down the list, it talks about how we treat each other in terms of not being jealous of our neighbour's possessions, or treating our wives with respect, and other laws in there as well are all very good laws. So they are very much worthy of our attention. If each of us were to obey them to the letter of the law, then yes, we would be considered pretty good people. However, we'll see that Jesus actually illustrated to us through his Gospels that just keeping the letter of the law isn't quite enough. And we'll have a look at that. So if you'd like to have a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, it goes on to say, "You have knowledge that it was said, 'You may not have connection with another man's wife.' But I say to you that everyone whose eyes are turned on a woman with desire has had connection with her in his heart." So here you go. Prior to Jesus, now this scripture, what Jesus spoke here, was revolutionary in that time. Everybody had looked at the law legalistically and interpreted it as such that even if you were, you'd only commit the sin if you did the act. But then Jesus went a little bit deeper than that, didn't he? And he's basically saying that even if you entertain the thought of the act, then that is still a sin. And so this really, I can just imagine this would have blown them away quite significantly. But I believe in their hearts, whoever heard those words knew that what he was saying was true. And so I'm sure that day quite a few people were convicted by the words that he said. So if we go back to 2 Corinthians 3:17, which is that word, that scripture, which talked about Jesus being that spirit and that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If we have a look at that again, and if we have a look at that whole script, that whole chapter actually, let's have a look at to whom this scripture is addressed. Is it being addressed to? Is Paul talking to unbelievers in this scripture, or is Paul talking to believers or to Christians? Well, let's have a look. If we go a little bit earlier on in that chapter, if we look at 2 Corinthians verse 3, chapter 3, sorry, I'll say that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, makes a bit more sense. It says, for you, and I put in brackets there the Corinthians, because that's whom it's addressed to, are clearly a letter of Christ, the fruit of our work, recorded not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in stone, but in hearts of flesh. So I think that makes it pretty clear who he's addressing this chapter to, and it is to the Corinthian church. So we can take a lot out of this as a church into what he says in this chapter. So yes, Paul is definitely speaking to us here. So we can say, yes, so we can say that chapter 3 is directed to us. So looking back at verses 5 and 6, which I read before, and that's the scripture that talks about how the letter gives death, the letter of the law gives death, but the Spirit gives life. If we look back into that scripture, it tells us that no matter what we do and how well we do it, or how fruitful we might be, we might do some wonderful things for the Lord or in our lives for the kingdom of God. We could do the most magnificent things. What it's also saying is that we cannot take the credit for it. As much as I'd love to take the credit for it, if ever I do something that is considered good, I can't take the credit for it. In a sense, we can look at this as a small price to pay when we look at the other side of the coin. So if we look at the first half in verse 5 of that scripture, it says, not as if we were able by ourselves to do anything for which we might take the credit, but our power comes from God. And that was 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, which we read earlier before. So yeah, it's basically telling us that no matter what we do that might be considered good or for the kingdom of God, we can't necessarily take the credit for that, because it's God that empowers us to do these things. So, but when you look at it, does it really matter? Do we need to take the credit for it? When you consider what Christ did on the cross for us, and how without that we could do nothing that would be considered good anyway for the kingdom of God, I think it's a small price to pay to have our sins forgiven and not worry about taking the credit for the things that we do. So we shouldn't, for that matter, look for the credit. We just do it because we love the Lord, and it's our desire to see his kingdom grow. So we are empowered, we're enabled by God. Having said that, if there is anything we can possibly do right in all of this, then it's being obedient to his leading. So we can establish with this scripture that our victories are only made possible through Christ. So it might look like I'm diverting a little bit here, but I'll tie it all in to shortly, and you'll understand, hopefully, where I've gone with all of this. But if we have a look just towards the end of that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it talks about, for the letter gives death, but the Spirit gives life. What does this mean? So when we talk about what the letter gives death, what does that mean? The letter that is being referred to here is the literal or face value understanding of the Old Testament law. Because back in the day when Paul was around, having been a passionate student of the law prior to his encounter with Christ, and like other knowledgeable people in the subject of the Old Testament law, would have worked really hard to live it and to defend it. You can imagine Paul was a staunch defender of the faith of the law in particular. He even confessed that he was instrumental in the arresting and the killing of a lot of Christians at the time before coming to knowledge with Christ. And that is what why, because they were such staunch defenders and believers in the old law, that is why one of the reasons why the teachers and students of the law, such as what Paul was prior to knowing Christ, got a little violent or very passionate about defending it. Because once these Christians came along, back in that day, the message of salvation through surrender and relationship with Christ really challenged what was believed in the time. And not knowing any better, the teachers of the law in that day feared that what the Christians were professing or what Christ had taught was actually heresy, because it challenged the way they interpreted the law. So the fact that by trying to be obedient to God's law without Jesus is doomed to failure. Because no matter how hard we try to follow the letter of the law, we won't understand the spirit of the law. We won't understand we won't be able to dig underneath like what Jesus demonstrated when he talked about adultery. When he talked about how just thinking about a sin, just dwelling on it, is the same as committing that sin. We wouldn't have any knowledge of that, so we'd be doomed to failure. Even if we lived our physical life according to the law, we'd still be doomed to failure, because we wouldn't know that even just by dwelling on a sin, on a thought, would still cause us to sin. So this is, of course, because we are tainted by the sinful nature. And no matter how hard we try, in our natural strength, we're doomed to sin. We have that natural tendency to sin. However, fortunately, at the end of verse 6, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, in that verse 6, it says, the Spirit gives life. So when used in the context of verse 17 that we read before, it provides us with clarity on what Paul is saying. He's talking about the Spirit giving life. So it talks about Jesus being that Spirit in verse 17, where it talks about liberty, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's talking about Jesus being that Spirit. We begin to understand how Jesus is the essence, the completion, the beginning, the end, and the fulfilling of everything in the Old Testament. He has, in a sense, liberated us from the legalistic thinking that was common to Paul's time. So when we talk about how where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, when we talk about how Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, how he was able to interpret the Scriptures and see the spirit of it, We have that same spirit to be able to also look at the Scriptures in the same way. And so this brings liberty and freedom as to how we can then interpret the Scripture, interpret it beyond the face value of it. So he has liberated us from the legalistic thinking that was common in Paul's time. But what does it mean by liberty? We still haven't looked at liberty. Liberty being, in often cases, interpreted as being freedom or to do what one wants. It is partially. I think there is also a much deeper meaning here. Since Jesus is the complete embodiment and fulfiller of Scripture, when we study the Scriptures in the Spirit, that is with the Holy Spirit inside us as well. we will be liberated to see the spirit of the scripture and no longer be confined to see the face of it. So we are able to now interpret the scripture just as Jesus demonstrated when he redefined adultery in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 27 to 28, which we read before. So this is really what the point that I'm getting to, is that when we look at a scripture such as now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, we're really looking at it in the sense that now that we have accepted Jesus into our heart and that we have accepted the Holy Spirit as well into our lives, and we are able to then look and read and study the scriptures deeply, not just look at it legalistically. And this is very important to our well-being, to our spiritual well-being, to be able to do that. So we do not have the freedom to do whatever we like. So that's not what the scripture is saying. We don't have the freedom to sin. However, Jesus, being the fulfiller of the scriptures, gives us the liberty to fulfill and understand the previously hidden treasures of the scripture. There are so many treasures within the scripture that have previously been overlooked or haven't been able to be seen back before Christ's time. But since Christ has been here, since Christ has come and we were able to receive him into our hearts, through the ages, since that time, we've been able to read more into the scriptures and be able to bring out more truths and treasures that the scriptures have been holding. When we are studying the word at home or walking through a lesson at home group, let's just look beyond what is written in black and white. Let's get the essence of what the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon our hearts. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us exactly what that is. So finally, my encouragement to all of us here tonight is that once we understand the spirit of the law, we get a better understanding of what God is and how much he values us. And that's why when we look at the scriptures and we look at the spirit of it and we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the things that the treasures that the whole, that are within those scriptures, that we begin to see how valuable we are to our God. We begin to see that these laws are not designed to condemn us, but they're designed to liberate us. They're designed to teach us and to demonstrate to us how we are to respect our God, to love our God, to worship our God, but also, as importantly, one another. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for your scriptures, Lord God, for what you have given us, Lord God, the word that you've given us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, it's just so awesome, Lord, just the power that is within it, Lord God, that with, through your Holy Spirit and with the Spirit that Jesus demonstrated in interpreting and in demonstrating what the scriptures hold, Lord God, that you're able to reveal to us the wonders and the beauty that is within it, Lord God. Lord, there is nothing hidden in your scriptures now, Lord. There is nothing hidden there. We have complete access to what it has to say to us, Lord. But help us, Lord, to allow your Holy Spirit to reveal them to us, Lord God, that we can better understand the treasure that is in it, Lord God. And may, Lord, help us to allow us to be open to outwork your word through our lives, Lord, and through your spirit, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.